spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
No, wait, you're right. Come on, John, come on. Come on. Inside the 10, head first. He dives inside the 5-yard line.
Yeah.
Curry, way down top. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
The Stanley Cup winning Colorado Avalanche. And after 22 years, Brandon Marsh.
It's Thomas at the 50. Stick on the 3 to the 30. To the 20. Thomas to the 10. Get the 20.
Let's rock.
Hello and welcome here into the first edition of Spittin' Sports. I'm Josh Coleman alongside Garrett Reese, Evan Brees, and LaVon Brown. How's everybody doing today?
Doing good.
What up? Pretty good.
Doing pretty good, man.
That's what I like to hear. It's going to be a fun show. We got everything pretty much on board. NFL, NBA, got some NHL, and then some fun segments in there as well. Got to start off with the biggest segment of the NFL world right now, Jimmy Garoppolo, a guy we thought was for sure not going to be a 49er this year, stays with the 49ers, is now going to be their backup QB with a total salary of $6.5 million in fully guaranteed base, but plenty of incentives for him to potentially get back in that starting lineup and make some headlines replacing Trey Lance. I'm going to throw this to LaVon first because we talked about this yesterday in class. $16 million in total that he can earn with the incentives, $9 million total for that. What do you think is going to happen with this Jimmy G situation?
Well, one of the most important things, you know, that like we did, we discussed it. I'm like, how are you going to make $16 million in incentives if you're not playing? So I think he's going to play a lot. I really do. Trey may start, but the first sign of struggle or something, I think they're going to go back to Jimmy G because he's had success there. They know what they're going to get with them, and a lot of the players are familiar with them. So we'll see.
Yeah, just got to the NFC Championship last year with him. They've been there twice. They've been to the Super Bowl with Jimmy G. It's going to be interesting because now a guy who's been basically practicing on his own field away from the team is now going to be back in the locker room with Trey Lance. How do you guys think that dynamic is going to play out?
I think it would be good. I mean, he's a veteran quarterback, and Trey's obviously very young. So I think that's kind of a reason they kept him, and they'll probably have him on a short leash. And if he kind of, like he said, plays kind of bad, then they will just throw in their veteran, Jimmy Garoppolo, and see what he can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Evan?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll do a lot just for mentoring Trey, you know, really getting used to playing in the NFL on a regular basis. I just think it's really big, too. I mean, just for the team that could potentially trade for him, having a smaller salary, I definitely think will be easier to trade. But, yeah, I think it's good.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point is because one of the big rumored spots was Seattle for Jimmy G this year. Mm-hmm. The 49ers play him week two. So the rumor was they didn't want to let him go, especially to Seattle, until at like week three-ish. So I think that's a good point. That lower salary is going to make it easier for teams to kind of maneuver some cap space on their own rosters and finagle some stuff. But I think Seattle's got a strong chance of still being in this race for Jimmy G because, to LaVon's point, if Trey struggles, you're going to have the locker room looking at everybody going, we need to play Jimmy G, and that's not good for essentially a rookie quarterback's confidence. I know he's mm-hmm. in his second year, but he hasn't actually seen any real live regular season action. So you got to kind of waver it and see, one, his confidence level, and two, what the system is going to be, because it's going to be two different systems for Trey Lance, who you have to simplify it for, versus Jimmy G, who you can just kind of let him go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm not fully sure how they maneuver this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly who the Niners are. I know they're playing the AFC West, like Broncos and all, but I definitely think, you know, starting with Trey is probably the smart thing, just to let him go out there and do what he can do, just see what it is. And then, you know, if you need to, go to Jimmy G, of course. Mm-hmm. So I still see them making the playoffs, so with Jimmy G or Trey Lance, doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think they're a playoff team with or without Jimmy G. I think Trey Lance adds more athleticism to this offense, adds a little bit new dimension, because Jimmy G, he's athletic. He can get out of the pocket, extend some plays, but he's not nearly the Trey Lance athletic who can break a runoff. And we saw it even in the preseason. He broke a couple of long runs. So I think that really you have to look at the strengths of your offense. Like Deebo Samuel, is he going to be in the same kind of situation with the Trey Lance versus a Jimmy G? That's one of those things that you have to weigh.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's honestly why Deebo decided to come back. Maybe he likes playing and training with Trey Lance on the offseason. I don't know exactly, but yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be one of those things that you have to waiver. Their whole offense is somewhat changed. Their running backs have changed a little bit. I'm intrigued to see what this offense does, because to Tavon's point, Jimmy G is a good enough quarterback to get you to the Super Bowl. Trey Lance starts to struggle. You have to wonder. They got the pieces to be a Super Bowl team, where they almost were there last year. It's got to be one of those things where you weigh your options. If Trey Lance gets you 1-3, 1-4 the first couple weeks, do you pivot to Jimmy G? Do you immediately pivot, or do you give Trey Lance a couple more weeks?
I think you'd have to immediately pivot. Because if after about 4 or 5 weeks, that you still have a lot of football left, so your season's not over, okay? But if you get in a 1-4 hole and you continue to dig yourself a deeper hole, then it's going to be harder to make it to the postseason. Mm-hmm. You've already had success with Jimmy G. And I'm just kind of wondering what is going through his head, considering that he's really being benched for an unproven quarterback. I mean, it really is. I mean, Trey Lance is a great athlete. He's good. Jimmy G got you, you know, into the playoffs. You went on the road. You beat Dallas. And you had deeper success. You had a little run there with Jimmy G. Again, previously, you made it to the Super Bowl with him. So I really don't understand why he's on the bench, me personally.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And obviously, today being the first day where Kyle Shanahan got to talk to the media, He obviously spoke on this situation. It was one of the biggest ones. We have a clip here from Sacktown Sports 1140 talking about Jimmy G staying with the 49ers and just how that is all going to work out.
But once the last Saturday preseason game happened and no one got injured, then Jimmy thought this was his best situation that he liked, and that's why we were so pumped, because it's obviously a better situation for the Niners. We love getting Jimmy back, but to have him there earlier in camp wasn't an option. I mean, we're going to put him out there in practice for his sake and for our sake. I mean, he was on a $24 million contract, and he was going to go somewhere else. But none of that came into fruition, and which we would have ended up having to let him go under that current deal. That wasn't an option. But we were always clear to Jimmy that him salary cap wise and stuff in a backup role and supporting Trey in that, and if that worked for him, that was a no-brainer for us.
Yeah, and they bring up an interesting point in that clip of having Jimmy G in training camp practicing with them when they had already announced basically that it was Trey Lance's team wasn't doable. They were still looking for trades. It just isn't a feasible task to tell that guy, hey, you're on the chopping block, but can you come practice for us? It just isn't a feasible thing to do. It isn't respectful to Jimmy G. And another thing they brought up too is he is on prior to this restructure, was on a $25, $26 million deal. If he gets hurt in practice, your trade value goes down and everything blows up in your face. So I think he brings up interesting points of you can't necessarily have him on the practice field because he's too much of a liability. If he gets hurt, if there's a scrap between Trey Lance, there's too many things that could go wrong if he's practicing with them in training camp. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't he practicing with like players that weren't even on the team? Like he was throwing passes to like coaches and stuff.
Yeah,
that was strange.
Yeah, they had him on his own separate field at training camp just so that they didn't have any confusion with who the starting quarterback was going to be. It was an interesting one the entire time. So, but it's. That's going to be a situation we'll have to watch, much like all the 53-mans have been coming out today Denver Broncos came out with theirs. There were a couple surprising moves on their 53. They traded Malik Reed today for a fifth-round pick. They cut Mike Purcell, although the rumors are swirling that Purcell's going to end up on the roster after all the IR moves with Dulcich. There's, I think they were making five IR moves with defense, offense. So there's going to be a bunch of different things that the Broncos have to address going into it. How do you feel about the Malik Reed trade? Because I loved the guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a bummer. I mean, when Randy Gregory comes back, I don't think his role on the team is going to be the same. So I get trading him away, but you never know later in the season if, you know, because Bradley Chubb gets hurt, you know, then we got one less guy in the locker room that can fit his role. So I think it's a bummer, but at least we're getting something out of it.
Yeah, I agree. They only got a fifth round pick, but it's something. It's because I believe we picked Malik Reed right around there as well. It's going to be a replacement, at least somebody that you can draft, somebody young and cheaper, which is the biggest thing in the NFL. There's always, I mean, Bill Belichick does it every single year. You got to get young and cheaper just to sustain certain aspects of the roster that are your best. So it's going to be something that the Broncos have to keep an eye on. George Payton, I mean, I trust him after all the things that he's done here in Denver. There's nothing, no faith that he doesn't have for me. But we will come back on the other side talking about more Denver sports, Denver Nuggets this time, talking about all the moves that they made this offseason and how they can win a championship. We will be right back on the other side of this break with more Spittin' Sports on Mile High, on GoMileHighNetwork.com.
Hurry, young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
GoMileHigh, your college radio for sports, movies, and games. Run by students, for students, and more.
Let's see what they can do here from the five.
Sports news, live games, and discussions about just about everything.
Disney turning their rides in their parks into movies.
So close, so many times, and to have that snack to...
Come and join us every day for your favorite shows, only at GoMileHigh.com.
I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy-dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com. Lama, they got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again, but I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
It's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College Radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Back here on Spittin' Sports on GoMileHigh.com. Jumping back into the show, Denver Nuggets. Why did they make some of the moves they did? Why DeAndre Jordan over DeMarcus Cousins, Boogie Cousins, one of the best guys that I thought was on the roster with that 1-2 punch for the backup to Nikola Jokic? They made a ton of moves this offseason, prioritizing some shooters and defense, bringing in Christian Braun through the draft, Bruce Brown, signing him through free agency, re-signing Davon Reed, bringing in KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope through a trade. They really prioritized defense, and shooting is obviously a lack for the Denver Nuggets in past seasons. What do you guys think about that? We'll throw it to Garrett first, to my right. What do you think about some of the moves that the Nuggets have made? Personally, I think it's perfect. They're going to be top four, top three seed in the West, potentially can compete for an NBA Finals.
Yeah, a lot of people have this as like the dark horse, considering like we weren't very healthy last year, and now we got a lot of people coming back, like Jamal Murray, MPJ. And, you know, if they come back how they were before, then I think we'll be really fine. We just got to fill the spots around them, like our core. And, yeah, DeAndre Jordan probably wasn't a very good signing. You know, he's older than Boogie, correct? So, yeah, I liked Boogie. He gave us, like, that edgy spark when Jokic would come off. He'd come in. Like, you know, the techs are all bad and everything, but he gave us, like, that edgy spark that, like, we're not to be messed around. Like, we're not going to be pushed around, but overall, I think we addressed what we needed with defense and shooting, and then we have people coming back healthy, and so I think we'll be really good.
I mean, personally, I think the biggest move for me, I honestly wasn't a big Will Barton guy, I'll be honest. I'm kind of happy he's gone. I've been saying that for a couple of years now.
Preaching to the choir.
And, I mean, yeah, I think bringing in defense, I feel like Malone generally likes to play defense. We've always had such a good offense recently with Jokic and Murray, but yeah, I think the team will be better. It sucks losing Monte Morris in the trade, but yeah, I think they're a little bit above a dark horse. I think they can finish top three in the West, which is a good conference. So yeah, Nuggets winning all this year, I believe.
I think, you know, one of the best acquisitions overall was KCP. I mean, for me, because everywhere he goes, I mean, he's had success. He's a great three-point shooter, and he's a very, very good defender. And so, Evan just touched on it, you know, when your team is preaching defense, you need guys like this guy, you know, to come out, you know, play some solid defense, maybe lock down one of the team's better defenders, but then can stretch the floor, because if you don't watch him, then he'll kill you from the three-point line. So for me, for the Nuggets, that was one of the best offseason acquisitions right there. But we'll see. I think the Nuggets have a chance of being at least top four. Could be a sleeper NBA Finals team right there.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And you guys all really hit on it right there. The shooting, not only KCP, but the shooting that the Nuggets are really trying to bring together on this roster. The offense, in my mind, taking almost a complete flip. The Nuggets, for the most part, haven't been a great three-point shooting team, have prioritized getting into the paint, drawing some fouls. This year, there's going to be some of that with Jamal and Nikola Jokic, but it feels like this offense is going to be so much driven by getting the ball to Nikola in the paint and then kicking it out to MPJ, KCP, Bruce Brown, Jamal Murray, the plethora of guys on the outside. How do you think that's going to help with keeping defenses on their toes, which has been an issue for the Nuggets, not only in the regular season, but the playoffs recently?
Yeah, I mean, I think another thing, too, is just with MPJ coming back, you know, he's had multiple back injuries. That's like a serious thing. So I think for him, I think maybe not less management on like minutes, but just like finding a way to stay healthy with your back and contributing the way he used to. Yeah. I mean, who is the backup to MPJ? Like, who is the small forward backup for the Nuggets right now? I don't even know. So he's got to stay healthy.
That's been tough. But it's going to be kind of an interesting pick. Bruce Brown is probably going to be the backup small forward, mm-hmm. but the way this roster looks, it could be anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question with like Murray coming back, MPJ, and some of the other additions. Do you think Jokic will like take a step down with like his production and all these MVP wins? Do you think he'll be just as good as he was these past 2 years? Or
I think scoring wise, his numbers will slip a little bit. Okay, the assists and rebounds, I think those will stay the same, which is why I think Denver's very dangerous, because you're going to have more scoring and you're still going to get the defense and the rebounding from him and the other contributors. I don't see any slippage. Okay. I don't see any slippage. I think Denver's going to have a high powered offense. They'll probably rank in the top 10 defensively too. They're pretty good. They're going to be pretty good this year.
I mean, I think a little thing I'm nervous about is, I mean, being a back-to-back MVP, I just think I'm like, you know, if Murray and MPJ are not having a good night, I don't want them to just have to throw the rock to Jokic. Go do something, Jokic. Do it for us. You know what I mean? That's what I'm nervous about. But, you know, like LaVon said, I agree. I think his points will slip just a little bit, but assists and rebounds definitely go up.
Yeah, I'm right there with you guys. I think the points naturally have to slip because he doesn't have to carry the offensive load like he did so much last year, because he's going to have other scorers on the floor with him back. Because, I mean, MPJ played, what, 10 games last year?
Something like that, yeah.
And so I think naturally the points are going to slip. I think assists go up. Rebounds probably hover around the same. But with all the guys that he has now who can hit a three, get into the paint, make a shot on their own, it's going to be great for this offense. But his points are going to go down, assists go up. That's what I'm assuming. But one big acquisition that I really don't know what to do with this Nuggets team is Christian Braun. Because Mike Malone, as I'm sure you all know, very historically cautious with his rookies. Doesn't give them a ton of minutes. So what do you guys think Christian Braun's kind of minutes look like? What does his role look like this year?
Well, is Bones, is he playing point guard, like backup to Jamal?
Probably without Monte.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so that's the problem, I think. Because he could be a two backup, but he's too young, like you said. He's not going to get the minutes. He's not going to just put into that role and strive. But, yeah, I don't know. Hopefully he's, you know, for the Nuggets, drop 40 points in the fourth. He gets minutes and proves that he's legit and he can play for the team. But I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, that I was going to say, like, blowouts, I'd say he'd get, like, the bull treatment, just throw him in at the end of the fourth if we're down by 40 or up by 40.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair, and especially – like, he's not somebody you're gunning for the rookie of the year. Get some quality minutes and get some progression in his game. But outside of that, you're not looking for a tremendous boost out of him like you are some of the other rookies out of this year's draft class, like Jaden Ivey, Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, who's out with a Liz Frank injury for all season, Keegan Smith or Keegan Murray, who I think is going to have a great season for Sacramento, Paolo Banchero for Orlando. There's a lot of really good rookies that came out of this draft class. So my question to you all, who do you think is going to win the rookie of the year this year?
I'll start off. I got Paolo Banchero. I'm a pretty big Duke guy, I guess you could say, and I watched the team the whole year, and he was kind of their like backbone in the whole March Madness run. He's 6'10", 250. That's a massive guy. And he's got like kind of a finesse game. He can shoot the mid-range really well. That's probably his best spot. He posts people up, and he just got a really nice feel around the rim. Three-point, I mean, it's not too good, but it's not terrible. Like, he can make them. But, yeah, I would say he's my number one pick for rookie of the year.
My question to that is, you know that little thing where he loses like 15 pounds of sweat or something mm-hmm. a game? Do you think that's going to have any impact now that he's playing in the NBA, big, stronger players, stuff like that?
I don't know. Well, that was an issue. I know he, like, I think it was 9 pounds per game, which is insane. But, like, with Duke's technology and all the money they have, they made some, like, special drink for him that he would drink during the whole game. And I guess that helped with his cramping and everything. And I guess you can't imagine it would get even better with NBA money and everything. So I would think it's not going to be an issue, but you never know. But.
Yeah.
No, I think that's fair. Evan, who's your pick then?
I mean, I got a guy I think who could win in. I got a sleeper to win. I think starting off, I'm going to go with Benedict Mathurin, something like that, from Arizona. I think he's got good potential. He really dominated in college last year. He was a beast. Pretty much carried Arizona. So, yeah, I got him with the Pacers. But I think for my sleeper pick would have to be Jabari Walker. You know, I am a CU fan, but, you know, I definitely think he balled out this in the summer league this year with the Blazers. And the Blazers, their roster is just so up and down, shaky. So he can definitely fit in there, dominate, get his role going, and you never know how things go.
No, I could absolutely see it. I could see it. Tavon?
I'm going to go with Jaden Ivey. Okay. This young man, he's an excellent guard, right? And, you know, last year against ranked teams, Ivey averaged 19.1 points and had 5.1 rebounds and 3.4 assists. Now, those, and I say ranked teams because, you know, now you're in the NBA. These are the best of the best. So, will those numbers slip a little bit? I believe yes, but I still think he's going to be a instant contributor for Detroit, and I think, you know, we'll see them improve drastically.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Detroit is really one of the sleeper teams in the NBA this year. Their roster is really, really young, bolstered with talent. I'm going to go with the other one, other safe pick, Keegan Murray, because he's just a uber-talented power forward. Although he is in Sacramento, we'll have to see how that goes. His careers kind of go to die in Sacramento, but I think that they'll be able to help him out, turn him around. But that'll do it for this certain segment. Stay tuned because we got more Denver sports for you next as we got the Avs offseason and what they need to address still on the way after this break. This is Spittin' Sports here on GoMileHigh.com.
If it's great radio you're looking for, then you're in the right place. Because at GoMileHigh.com, we have tons of shows discussing sports, news, politics, entertainment, community affairs, and much, much more.
Awesome!
And don't forget, if you miss out on one of your favorite shows, you can always access our archived episodes at GoMileHigh.com on your own time.
If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, fans! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do, not only in school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, really? Flowing robes, grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands in Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com. Llama. Uh-huh. They get the best sports coverage in the state. The llama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
It's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
All right. You're listening to Spin Sports on GoMileHigh.com.
That's right.
Back here on Spittin' Sports on GoMileHighRadio.com. I'm Josh Coleman with Garrett Reese, Evan Brees, and LaVon Brown. I'm going to mess that up at a certain point, Brees and Reese. But back here, talking more Avs after they are coming off the magical run to win the Stanley Cup, only losing four games all season, all playoffs, 2 games per series. Against the Blues and then in the Stanley Cup. But they lost some key pieces in Andrei Burakovsky and Nazem Kadri. Those are big holes that they have to address. They have to address that 2C, whether it's Rantanen bumping over, and potentially what I'm up for is trying to shed some cap and trade for Patrick Kane to bolster that wings. But they got to do something. They have to address that situation. Where do they have to start? Where do they start with this 2C spot, Evan?
I mean, it's tough because, you know, losing Kadri definitely is a blow, but I definitely think bringing in JT Compher as a second center, I like it. He's, you know, he's like 28, getting to his prime. I don't know if he's that guy, though. But, you know, it's the Avalanche. You know, Kadri's stats, I think, are a little weird looking at just because the Avs are so good. They're so obviously powered that, you know, he's obviously going to have like 70 plus points. So, you know, not signing on, I think, is good. But also what you said about Patrick Kane, I would love to see Kane in an Avs jersey, of course. But the thing I don't like about that is having him would basically mean like we couldn't sign McKinnon to what he wanted, because Kane would want to stay and he'd want to sign money and we wouldn't have that money to sign McKinnon. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I like Kane, but I don't think he's going to be here this year. Maybe you sign him next year, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it all just depends on how much money we give McKinnon. Mm-hmm. He's looking to be paid the biggest NHL player, which would mean around $13 million would make him the most paid player. But who I really like, I think that could fill Kadri's 2C spot, is Alex Newhook. He's very young, and his points weren't very good. He had, I think, 71 games played, which is a lot, and he only had like 30 points. But I think his offensive ability, he has a way higher ceiling than Compher, so I think he will be able to fill it with like better. He would be playing with like Rantanen, Lekkonen. So I think his points would just naturally go up playing with people like them. So I like him there, or like you said, Compher, but Compher really only steps up in the playoffs. Regular season, he kind of takes a step back. But I think right now we wait to see near the deadline. Maybe we sign like JT Miller from Vancouver. I think we just wait and play it out. I think we have near $4 million in cap space left to do something with. So I think we just play it out right now and see what we can do.
No, and I think that's fair. And it would bring up an interesting question whether you bump Compher or Newhook, then where do you address the other positions? Because if you bump somebody up, somebody's got to get replaced on one of those two lower lines. Mm-hmm. And so then you have to, although it would be a cheaper option rather than trying to sign a 2C, yeah, where do you potentially go after that? Because I know Evan Rodriguez is still out there in free agency from the Pittsburgh Penguins. I know that he could bump into that 2C. Where would you guys go potentially if you did bump Newhook or Compher up?
You go.
Oh, we didn't. Did we sign Darren Helm?
Yeah. Yes, I believe so.
I think, yeah, we didn't sign. We signed him, didn't sign Cogliano. So I think he's definitely not a third line.
We signed both of them, actually.
We got both of
them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, Cogliano was another small deal again.
Yeah, but those are fourth line guys. I wouldn't. They're so old, I wouldn't bump them up to the third line. But, I mean, filling the third line, I still like JT Compher at third line, Newhook at second. I like what you guys are saying. Mm-hmm. That should be fire.
And we have some, like, prospects. We have Olaslin, I think is how you say his last name. He was in the World Juniors, and he played on the Olympics. I forget where he's from, though.
Sweden.
Yeah. So they're saying he might make the roster, just depending like how bad or like what injuries and everything, but I look out for him as well.
And Ben Myers, the stud mm-hmm. for Minnesota last year. I mean, he only played like 5 games, scored 1 goal, but I definitely think he could fit in there somewhere. He's got a lot of experience. He's like 24 or something like that. So, yeah.
Well, and the Avs love going young because they play at such a high pace that I think that any really young 24-year-old would fit in pretty well here, especially if he's a 3C, 4C, third line, fourth line guy where he's you're not looking for him to score 40 points a season. You're looking for him to just chip in where you can. I think that that's a good idea. The other thing that I wanted to ask you guys about that was brought up is MacKinnon looking to be the highest paid player in the NHL. How does that limit what the Avs do? Because whether you, especially because NHL contracts are the most consistent with money-wise at least, how do you kind of manage that and not kind of overload yourself with all this talent and then the team ends up desolate because you paid the one guy and then couldn't afford anybody?
Yeah, I mean, he was getting paid like $6 million and he's obviously worth way more than that. And a lot of people are thinking he still might take a hometown discount. And I don't know what that would be, like 11 or 10, which would be really good still for him. He could still go get 13, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, another thing I forgot to say was Rantanen played the 2C spot in the playoffs a lot. So, I mean, we're not as deep as we were last year, but we still technically are pretty deep. And Rantanen could play on the second line, and we could, like, shift players around, and that could help a lot. We could sign a winger near the deadline and everything and then move him to the 2C spot. But, yeah, I mean, just all depends on how much we give him, because then that obviously means we don't have as much to play with. But I think he'll take a hometown discount considering our window to win a cup is still, like, for – I'd say for another like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, the Avs right now open yet again up as NHL Stanley Cup favorites. And Cale Makar was actually on Sportsnet talking to or getting interviewed by them, talking about how they need what they needed to do to repeat yet again. Let's take a listen.
I think just as our team, we know that we have the capability of potentially doing it again. And it's like you said, it goes back to the competitiveness. I feel like everybody makes it here because they have a certain edge of competitiveness. And we have so much on that on our team, especially Nate, who's here too. And so it's anytime you have competitive guys together, it makes you want to play even better. And that's kind of the way our team rolled.
And yeah, he mentions that competitiveness and that kind of being that drive for that Colorado team. I don't think any of that's going away. They retain a lot of the core guys. They're only going to push anybody who's new, like Gorgiev and Frankie and Nett. They're only going to push those guys not only to integrate into the Avs culture, but to be their best hockey players every day, whether it's practice or in games.
Yeah, I think just for the Avs, their most important thing is defensively staying healthy next year. You know, if you take away Cale Makar, Devon Toews, like the team is just not the same. You know, like they do so much that don't show up on the stats. But yeah, no, I think Georgiev from the Rangers, I think, you know, he was always known as a backup on Shesterkin. And so I think him coming to a winning team, becoming the starter right away, basically, hopefully, I think he'll dominate. So I think, you know, I mean, the Avs have had a new goalie like each of the last like 2 or 3 years. So it's like it doesn't really matter as long as you're consistent in the regular season and when playoffs come. So, yeah.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think that was probably one of the smartest moves we've done this offseason was the goalie situation because we're paying like $5 million for 2 goalies. And at the time when Kemper left, like there wasn't that many goalies in the market. And if there were, we had to give up a lot. I don't know what we would have even gave up, but and like you said, we've had 3 goalies in the past 3 years and all their numbers have gone up when they came here. Like Kemper's numbers went right up compared to what he was on the Coyotes. It's just like how our defense and our team's built, like goalies numbers just naturally go up because of how good we are.
Well, and you mentioned that and you cued a question. Is it because our defense, not only they're highly intense, they got more physical last year, but because they're so involved in almost every play that everybody's fresh. There's continual subs. Is it just making it easier for whoever's in the pipes?
Yeah, I mean, when the puck's in the other zone for like more than half of the period, he doesn't see as many pucks, and it's just like naturally numbers go up. And yeah, our defense, let alone, is just probably the best defense in the league. And we're really good. Like last year, we're really good at blocking shots. So not as many pucks are getting through. And the ones that do, they're not like high scoring chances. So yeah, it's just a combination of everything. Our offense keeps the puck in the other zone for multiple shifts at a time and just wears down the other team. It's just a combination of our defense and offense.
Okay. Yeah, and I think the pace of what the Avs play at is so quick. I mean, you know, it limits, like, just mistakes across the board. Defensive zone, neutral zone, offensive zone. I think just the pace kind of puts pressure on the other teams to keep up. And so I think defensively it just really helps them because, you know, I mean, when you got speedy wingers and you got a guy like Makar, I mean, you just have to throw it up, you know, make sure that they get it and that it's out of our zone. So I think that definitely helps the Avs a ton is their pace for sure.
No, absolutely. And I brought this up with my dad as well. As it, you bring up the goalies, Georgiev, Frankie. It makes it easy. You can take a sigh of relief when you're in net and your team has scored 3 goals already and you're in the second period. You know that, all right, if I let one in, I'm still good. I can focus back up. I'm not going to lose us this game. It helps so much having just an unbelievable offense, unbelievably high-powered offense in front of you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you go looking back at all the goals that got scored on the Avs in the playoffs, like when the Avs lost a game, there was probably legitimately one of the 4 that they legitimately lost. And it was in the finals against the Lightning when they got dominated. The other 3 losses were just complete lucky bounces that didn't go their way that night. And so I think, yeah, the Avs are just so dominant offensively and defensively that I think they're fine for the next couple of years as long as they have Kale and the main guys, Rantanen, Landeskog, McKinnon. I think they're chilling.
Well, and you mentioned unlucky bounces. That just brings back the second loss to the Lightning in the Stanley Cup when they tied it up late, and then it was just like one of those goals that you are kicking yourself for with what it was, 2 minutes left in the game took the lead and then ended up winning. But it's just one of those where if you can stave off those unlucky bounces, you'll be able to compete with almost anybody if you're the Avs because they don't make a ton of mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, and going back to the goalie situation, a lot of people seeing what Frankie did in the playoffs wanted him to be the starter, which I totally did not agree with. I think he is probably like one of the best like backup goalies, but if you throw him into a starting position, which is like 50 games, I don't think he can. He's just not built to be a starter. He's a very good backup, but starting-wise, I don't think he is. So the moves we did with Georgiev, I think, was really good. So our goalie situation, in my opinion, we're set.
Yeah, I agree. It's a really good tandem, and you brought up the price earlier. You're paying Georgiev and Frankie $5 million, and Kemper's making $5 million. So you're arguably in the better situation. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to overspend to keep pretty much the same quality of goaltending in there. But I got to ask, would you buy a Georgiev jersey?
No.
No.
No?
No chance.
Any of the Avs? I'm sure you guys have a couple of those Avs.
Yeah,
jerseys.
I got a Gerard jersey, but I mean, if I were to pick one, I'd go old style. I'd go Forsberg, Sakic.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I respect it.
Yeah.
Now, do you wear those jerseys in the appropriate place? At the game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I don't just walk into Whole Foods with an Avs jersey on, but okay. Yeah.
As you should, because, you know, in my eyes, there's a certain cutoff for, like, when you can consistently wear a jersey out and about. In my eyes, it's 23 or 24 years old, right when you're getting out of college or getting that first job where you're kind of an adult, your name starts to mean something a little bit more, especially to you, and then you see a bunch of... and. Obviously, you wear them to the games, but you see a bunch of these weird, maybe weird's not the polite word to call them, but a bunch of people who are out at like Whole Foods wearing Von Miller's jersey. And you're like, what are you doing, dude? It's Tuesday. We're not playing tonight. What's going on in your head? And so I have to ask, where do you guys stand on jerseys? Because I'm fine with them, but after 24, if you're not wearing it at the stadium or a watch party, like, I don't want to know what's going on in your world. You stay over there, I'm going to stay over here.
Yeah, like you said, like a 35-year-old or something wearing like a rookie in any league, you could say, jersey, it's kind of weird. But yeah, I mean, to the game, to the watch party or to a bar, whatever, watching the game with your boys, I'd say it's normal. But the I work at Target and like there's people coming in wearing Broncos jerseys on a Saturday. I'm like, they're not even playing today. It's the off season. What are you doing? But yeah, I agree with you 100%.
I mean, yeah, Sam, I think like the team has to be relevant in some way. Like, I can't pull up with a Rockies jersey like in the middle of December when they're not even close to playing. I think that's kind of weird. But yeah, bars, game day, game, you know, all that. That's when you should be wearing jerseys.
Right, right. LeBron?
I'm disappointed in all of you, okay? All right, you guys aren't fans. You're phonies, okay? The bottom line is you should be able to wear your team's attire, jerseys, whenever. I wear my jerseys all the time, okay? So I'm offended by what you just said. I wear Nebraska the most, all right? I don't want to hear any mess from either of you. But I wear my jerseys all the time. It's just, you know, my way of supporting, you know, my team. You know, hey, I like them 24/7, 365. So I have no problem wearing it whenever. Whole Foods, Target, whatever. I wear my jersey, hat, visors, wristbands, all that.
Are you the type to wear your Cowboys jersey to a Broncos Raiders game or something?
Yes.
See,
we can't get behind that.
Now, what are we doing? If you're
now, the one thing I just can't do, because I'm a little older, I won't wear a rookie's jersey, like a rookie. Like, if I wear my Cowboy jersey, it's an older like player. You know, he probably not even in the league anymore. I do have a Dak jersey, but I really don't wear Dak's jersey. I wear like older. I have an older Deion Sanders jersey, you know, something like that. But still Cowboys.
I will allow Deion Sanders because, well, it's Deion. But
Dak,
well, and wearing the Cowboys jersey to like a game where the Cowboys aren't playing?
Yeah.
Come on. Come on now.
I have no problem with it.
That might just be a Cowboys fan thing.
Yeah. It's a fan thing, man. You're a fan regardless of if they're playing or not.
I mean, I understand. I just, I'm going to respect it. But we'll take a quick break. Come right back. With our last segment, Knucklehead Plays, we'll talk about internet going down at the Nebraska and Northwestern football game, along with Kansas City trolling their rookie wide receiver. We'll be back in 3 minutes here on GoMileHigh.com. This is Spittin' Sports.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
If it's great radio you're looking for, then you're in the right place. Because at GoMileHigh.com, we have tons of shows discussing sports, news, politics, entertainment, community affairs, and much, much more.
Awesome! Tons awesome!
And don't forget, if you miss out on one of your favorite shows, you can always access our archived episodes at GoMileHigh.com on your own time.
If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, fans! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
It's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
This is Spittin' Sports on GoMileHigh.com.
I'm ordering to Jokic. Jokic, some more shuffle on the step back.
Yep.
Back here on Spittin' Sports on GoMileHigh.com. Last segment for you, and it's going to be a fun one. We got knucklehead plays for you. Internet goes down at the Nebraska and Northwestern game this weekend. So beer was free for the first quarter and beyond. I saw all crazy. I saw one guy with two different trays of beers walking them up so carefully to the stairs. Like, it was a flood to the concession stands right after. And you got to wonder, Nebraska, what are we doing here? What are we doing? First week, we already have issues with internet. And so you have to then lose margins on probably one of your best-selling products in the stadium, beer. Like, that's a nightmare.
Yeah, lucky the game was in Ireland. If not, really, they would have struggled on money.
In Ireland, though.
They can drink.
Yeah, I was like, that's a place you probably don't want to run out of beer, though.
No, yeah.
Or
no way.
Have it go free because they'll drink the whole stadium.
Yeah,
literally. And... Well, I got to go to our resident Nebraska fan over on the board. LaVon, what do you think about this? Because it was pretty much a disaster.
Well, there's one way of looking at it. It's disaster because, number one, you lost the game. But if you're a Huskers fan, I mean, you got all the free beer. I would have just woke up in Lincoln. I would have drank, like, all the beer. You know, I would have won. I would have called that a win. I don't know. As far as... the beer is concerned, that's crazy that actually occurred. I've never heard of that happening ever, where beer is free for the whole stadium. I'm just surprised there weren't like a lot of fights, riots, vandalism or something like that, you know. But if, I mean, maybe they were on their P's and Q's because they were abroad. You don't want to be on locked up abroad, you know. So but as far as the outcome of the game, well, Nebraska is Nebraska, and we just leave it at that.
Yeah, we don't need to dive into it for you. I know we did that already this week, and it hurt you a little bit yesterday.
Absolutely.
No, but it was, yeah, that's not necessarily what you want to happen. But to your point, if you're a Nebraska fan, best thing that could have happened for you. But the other one I wanted to talk about, this is just a mean prank right here that the Kansas City Chiefs pulled on their rookie wide receiver. As I'm sure you all know, rookie dinners are a thing where you have to go buy everybody dinner. They're allowed to buy whatever they want, drinks, food-wise. But the Chiefs did it a little differently. They still went out and bought everything that they wanted. They had the rookie dinner. But at the end of it, they arranged to have a fake bill delivered to their rookie, Sky Moore. The bill in total was $22,730. $18,000 in food, $2,000 for wine. Now, what they did not tell him, was that it was a fake bill. And his teammates watched him get out his phone after his card got declined twice, get out his phone, call his financial advisor, then get on the phone with the bank, then after he's been sweating, trying to figure out what happened, then they let him in on the joke after about 5-10 minutes of him just losing his mind that he doesn't have enough money to pay for all of his teammates and he's going to get ridiculed. That's just me.
Yeah, I mean, they probably could have let it go on a little longer, like 30 minutes, and just see him freak out at the table. But I guess they're a little bit nice with the 5 or 10 minutes. But that's a pretty good prank. I guess it like builds the team chemistry, if you want to say that. But it's a good one.
I mean, you know, if I was like Mahomes or something, I would have been in like tears laughing at this guy struggling so hard, and it's a complete prank. I bet that was just a great time for the Chiefs. That's funny.
Yeah, I think it's rather funny, actually. But I'm more concerned with, why is your card declining? See, now I'm concerned now. Like, I'm really concerned. Like, why is your card declining? Your card should not decline. So I don't know. Have they paid this young man?
No, what's going on? I think they just would walk it back and then walk it back to him and be like, your card declined. They wouldn't actually run it because, obviously, as a second round pick, his card's probably going to go through. But I think they were just messing with him, telling him that it was declining. And I know I've been through that process when your card declines and your heart just sinks and you're like, oh no, oh no, how much am I in debt?
Right, but he called his advisor, then called the bank. So I'm like, at what point did they say, his advisor or the bank say, sir, like, there's nothing going on with your card? Like, how long did this go on? I would have just been wondering. I would have just been laughing, like, look at this young man. Like, what is going on with him right now? But we'll see. But it's funny the way I see it. They built, you know, that's how they gel and mesh. Mm-hmm. I think it was rather funny.
Yeah, and honestly, other than probably the actual expense of the dinner, it's a pretty harmless prank compared to some of the other ones where they put like popcorn, like legitimately buttered popcorn in the dude's car, and then they have to go get it reupholstered with leather, and you're like, that is legitimately messed up, because that's $1,000, $2,000. And I know they're all professional athletes and can afford it, but I mean, I'd be pretty upset if somebody did that to me, at least. I wouldn't stand for it.
Yeah, the rookie videos are the funniest. Like, what happened? The Detroit one on the Hard Knocks. What was his name? He was singing the song and the whole team got behind
Aiden
it.
Hutchinson?
Yeah. See, that, like, those videos are the best. The whole team got behind him and they just started jamming out.
Yeah, to Billie Jean.
Mm-hmm.
Great song.
Yeah.
I was even jamming out watching the video, singing it to mm-hmm. myself all alone. But that is going to do it for today's show. That was a fun first episode of Spittin' Sports. We will be right back here tomorrow at 7 p.m. talking some more sports. We'll have LaVon as the host for that one. So that's going to do it. I'm Josh Coleman alongside Garrett Reese, Evan Brees, and LaVon Brown. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.